Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the program. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for supporting the program. We love that about you. And if you'd like to get some good juju, free therapy, man, you can just click through the PayPal button, subscribe. Keep the pirate ship afloat. It's been a nice little experiment. Thank you very much. All right. So, where do you go? You go to Adam and DrDrewShow.com if you like. All right. Drew, how you feeling, man?
You look rested.
Well, now you know what's funny? I'm not rested at all. I'm tan because I've been standing out fucking side doing this motherfucking piece of shit contractor show.
No, I understand.
I have a color.
You have a healthy glow,
but it's basically just sunburn from standing in Gardena.
Well, I see the bags under the eyes a little bit, so I get. I thought that was just having recently woken up or something crazy like that.
Well, there is a little of that.
But listen, you seem. I may have gotten it wrong. Maybe calmer, relieved.
Well, what I have going for me now
because you're. Wrapping the show up, or
I see some light at the end of the tunnel. Unfortunately, that light is in fucking Redondo Beach, or I don't know. Ask Matt what godforsaken beach city we have to fucking go to. The last house we're doing is the furthest, Huntington Beach. It's the furthest possible. I have no idea how the fuck to get there at 8 a.m. But either way,
I got to meet your compatriots on the show. They're great.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to put Allison on my HLN show. She's perfect for us.
Yeah, she's perfect.
Yeah,
she's perfect for that show, and they're a great team, and it does make doing the show a lot more enjoyable. And the whole crew is great, but I started to realize, I have two things that have been working against me. First off, heat. I do not like it. I get depressed in heat. It reminds me of my childhood, and I could not escape it. And that was it sort of became this weird metaphor for my childhood,
for misery.
Well, it's also it's how you know you're fucking poor and how you know you're fucking amongst losers. You walk inside the house and it's hotter than it is outside the house. And then there's that single window unit that's buzzing all night. But that's only in the den where the small black and white TV resides. That's not in your room. So you guys can sit there and watch Maude with that thing buzzing away. And by the way, one of the, you know, they have the accordion. They have the accordion window arms. So, you know, because the unit is 22 inches across, but the window's 37 inches across, and you can't just slide it down and set it in the sash without filling up the space to the right and the left of it. Well, of course, on the left side, it was blown out. The accordion had, you know, dry rotted, given away. So we had a piece of denim.
This is your house?
Yeah.
It's my house,
my mom's house.
This is a piece of history I've not heard. It's a
piece of denim, like when you'd make cutoffs, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't throw away the rest of the pants.
So like jeans.
Literally jeans with two of the big style thumbtacks, you know, pressed into the window sash, so it created a flap.
Wow. So if a little breeze, the hot air just come right on through.
Or possum. No, my cat Norman used to use that as the entrance and exit.
You'd was this your bedroom, or was this like the living room area?
Wait, please understand, Drew. There was no air conditioning unit in the bedroom.
Right, I didn't think
there
so.
Never was.
Yeah,
there never
was. I was trying
had.
To temper the misery a little there, bit in
no,
my head.
There never... No. Here were the air conditioning... Here's the track record with Adam and air conditioning. All right?
Ready. Dig.
Let me see if I can chronicle this. I don't remember, you know, when I lived in Philadelphia, you know, back in the day. We didn't have anything there. We moved around a lot when I was, you know, 0 to 6 or 7, but there was no air. When I moved to the piece of shit that my mom currently resides in North Hollywood, it's a 100-year-old house. There was no air conditioning. There was a single unit that was put in the den slash my stepfather's room. Well, that's where the Zenith, the black and white Zenith, resided.
That's where the denim was.
That's where the TV went to die. And that's where the denim was.
And your soul.
And yes. And we would sit on my stepfather's bed and watch TV from his bed slash sofa. It was one of those, you know, all it you know, the thing about the bed slash sofa is it's a toss up as to whether it's a worse bed or worse sofa. You know what I mean?
It's like neither,
yeah.
Neither fish nor fowl.
It's neither fish nor fowl. Yeah. It's a shitty bed and probably a shittier sofa. It's on casters, you know. It was one big long pillow you'd throw off, and then it became a bed.
Yeah.
We would sit on that and watch TV, and then it'd be funny because you'd be watching Maude, and at some point, my cat would just burst through the curtain. Norman, now
the
we didn't
curtain.
Go...
Did you call it a curtain?
No, I don't have a flap. It was like a denim flap.
It was sort of the curtains of the Corolla house.
Yeah, we didn't have curtains.
Well, you did. Yeah, this
we
one.
We had a flap. Denim, had a denim flap.
Yeah.
And now, we didn't go out to the mall or anything and get Norman. Norman was just a cat.
Stray cat.
Stray cat.
You fed.
It's a stray cat that just started, like, sort of hanging out, and, you know, we fed him, and that's how you got your pets.
Yeah.
You know, they just sort of, the pets weren't any different than we were. They would just sort of roam from house to house looking for someone to put out some kibble or sauce or milk or something, and somehow that's how Norman arrived. And Norman was just kind of a tomcat. Like, I don't think he ever got fixed or anything. He never went to the vet. He was in and out. He might be gone for a couple days and then come back again. He was nice enough, but you never... The thing that was interesting about Norman is we had Norman for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And Norman kind of hung out at our house. He kind of hung out at the neighbor's house. He would go... There was a way to go to the neighbor's house where he would go underneath the house in the underpinning. And then he would be able to sort of climb up and pop up in the bathroom of the house, inside the house. There was like a hole in the bathroom cabinet under it. You know, and he could kind of hop up and pop up and end up inside the neighbor's house.
Wow.
But they were cool with it. And Norman was just kind of here and gone. And, you know, we just took sack of kibble and he had a bowl and a bowl of water. And his kibble just sort of sat in the kitchen on the floor. And he just kind of catch can.
Yeah.
You know, he just kind of came around. I don't remember him being the kind of cat that would sleep with you or on your bed or anything like that. He had his own thing too. Like he had before the flap when the other accordion spacer thing before the sun blasted it and it just kind of decomposed and fell apart. He didn't have a way of letting us know when we wanted to come in.
Right.
But Gary, you can show the picture. I was talking about it before with Ray. My house had two front doors.
What?
Yeah, two front doors right next to each other.
Oh, because it used to be a duplex or something?
The thought of it was...
What?
The thought was... Now, the house was only 900 square feet. The thought was maybe 100 years ago, the one door was like for like an office. Like doctor's office or something.
Yeah,
and then the other part was the other part of the house.
Okay, now this is a photo I've never seen, and it interests me for a number of reasons.
All right. Well, where should people go if they want to see this photo?
AdamandDrJewShow.com.
You're going to get a laugh out of this.
Now, that's got to be your grandfather over there on the left, right?
Yes.
He's the one that looks awake.
Yes.
like he's engaged.
Yes.
Now, first of all, shutters are not easy to keep up in North Hollywood. Those are well kept up shutters. They get hot and the paint peels off and stuff.
Well kept up shutters.
No, but I mean, I'm used to shutters in North Hollywood looking like shit because people don't paint them.
Well, there's something you got to understand, Drew.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the paint had lead in it.
Oh, right.
And that shit lasted for 50 years because filled with lead. Then the EPA came around and basically removed everything that makes paint effective.
Yeah.
It's like everything that tastes good is bad for you. Everything that makes paint good is bad for you. And so you remove all the things that are bad about in paint, and you're left with shitty paint. That's the paint you get at Home Depot today. That's why when you see those old buildings and you go, God, that paint is 50 years old, and it's still kind of there.
Okay.
That's what all it is.
So that's the explanation. Good. That's why
you're looking at a picture.
No,
if you
but
got
Adam,
up on
Adam
it,
you got to understand, that's... I'm assuming there's an explanation for these things. That's why I'm bringing it up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I'm telling you, I appreciate you shitting on my point. It does not look good. If you went and stood next to it, it doesn't look good.
Okay,
you're looking at
that.
A picture.
But I'm also noticing the light fixture above the... Is that the front door of the light fixture? It's like it's not full of spider webs and shit. I mean, it's sort of like there's some kempt up exterior of the house.
No.
Better than it looks now.
No, it looks better now.
All right.
Drew,
okay,
you're looking at a picture that's 50 years old from 20 feet away. How can you tell me there's no dust or cobwebs on a fucking
light
fixture?
All right, let's get into the
there's
people.
There's no lid on the light fixture. Do you notice that?
Touche. There you
go. And you notice it's askew?
Yeah, I can't see that,
But you can't see there's no spider webs on it?
Makes sense now. All right. And then there's your dad with the weird... fucking Ravi Shankar outfit.
Yeah.
What's he wearing?
Right.
What the fuck is that? What's around his neck?
He was trying to get laid.
Holy shit. And then
they were divorced. Or they weren't divorced, but they were apart.
And yet she's back. He's back there with your mom, interestingly, in the back.
Well, he wanted to get in the back. I think everyone would jockey for who got to be in the back.
Okay.
Except for me and my grandfather, who was fine standing in the front.
Well, it looks like you just stuck with him, whatever he said. You just did, right?
Yeah, I just stuck next to Grandpa because he was the sane one.
Now, here's your mom back there. I see that. And then who is that your sister next to your mom in the back? In the back.
Uh-huh.
So who's everybody up front there, the sociopath with the... football and stuff.
Those are the step fam. Not the step. They're my grandfather's sister's son, and then adopted kids.
Oh, and what are they doing now?
They're doing okay. The boy had a little rough patch at the beginning, but is doing okay now. And that group's doing okay, I believe.
The girl looks like she was put there by casting, like somebody like we need a good look. We need like a attractive put together young girl in this group.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, what is she doing there?
Yeah, she married a fireman and kind of turned out pretty normal.
Okay, and is that your grandmother next to you?
No, that's just a crazy old lady who's on their side of the family. I don't know who
that is.
Your
grandma's not in the picture.
No. And she's taking the picture.
Oh, of course. And the guy in the far right, I don't recognize that.
That's Gabi.
Oh, of course.
That is the Hungarian guy who's the son of my grandfather's sister, older sister, Bougie.
And has Bougie got the hand on the
yes.
guy? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And I think you and I have discussed this before, but Hungarians, super bright. Were they all super smart?
They're, would it be loquacious?
Well, they have commanded language because their language is the hardest of all.
They're things like, I'll tell you how they are.
Stuff, and their memories, insane memory, insane.
Well, that's funny that you brought that up. There's an interesting thing about Hungarians. That they're that little known. But somebody at some point later, much later in my life, said they're like basically the number one storytelling group. They tell stories. And I thought, oh, that's all my grandfather did was tell stories. Yeah. It's all he told stories. And they have a great command of the language. Yes, yeah. Their language is difficult and almost, it sounds novel.
Yeah.
When you hear Hungarians speak back and forth, it sounds made up. When you hear people speak French, Spanish, or Italian, it doesn't sound made up.
You can understand it as a foreign language. This sounds like something you've not.
This sounds like gobbledygook. Right. This is a you know, bad sci-fi movie, right, where they've given an alien, they're giving the Klingons their own language. You know, that's what Hungarians sound like. Even Russians, it's a little bit off, but you can hear you can hear there's a language going. Yeah. When people speak French back and forth, you understand. It's like
there's a flow to it.
Hungarian's completely made up its own thing.
Every time I've encountered someone with a true photographic memory, they've been Hungarian. Every time. And I've done about a half dozen times. I met somebody, they can flip through a book and go, I'll say, turn to page 7 and read. And they can just do it in their memory.
Well, that is an interesting thing because my grandfather was very bright and he was very interested in actually trying to think what the fuck's wrong with everyone else. He was very interested in words and puzzles and putting together words. Now, he was a writer for a living. But he would say things like, you know, he learned to speak English, you know. Yeah. But he would never say something is hard. He'd say it's difficult. This was a better word for what the description was.
Yeah, challenging.
No, he wouldn't say challenging.
No, but I mean difficult implies challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
he
impossible.
Would go, oh, man, that's really hard. He'd say it's that's difficult.
It's just a better word.
It's just a better word. Yeah, he would just choose, even though English was his second language, he would choose better words than most people who use English as their first language.
Yeah.
And again, I think that is the Hungarian thing that you bring up. And yes, he told me stories from his youth constantly that were at that point 65 years old, 70 years old, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know quite what the ethnicity is, because Hungary is sort of a made up country, you know. It was the Austro-Hungarian Kingdom, there's Budapest, and there's all these different like regions and stuff. So I don't really know what I'm describing when I say Hungarians have this quality, but there's got to be some ethnic cluster that I'm describing. So maybe somebody can write into Chris Mexipat and tell us what that is.
Well, It was a very interesting, depressing group, and so what I was leading toward is the front. There was no screen door on the front door.
Right, you see it on the office door, whatever that is.
But there was a screen door on my stepfather's room. That's my stepfather's room. He slept up front.
Was his bed pushed up against that window? I'm just imagining.
No, it was against the right side.
The wall. Okay, right.
And the TV would have been on the left side. Now, that room was all of 9 feet wide.
Yeah.
The picture, you can't see it, but there's about another 9 inches of house to the left, and then that's it with the picture. Now, the thing that was funny, and people say to me on occasion, now, why is it your stepdad and your mom slept in separate rooms? And the answer to that is, not only have I never asked, I shall never ask.
And you don't want to know.
And I don't want to know. I already found out, not through my own decision, much like it's a lot like the time somebody showed me the two girls with one cup,
yes,
and I didn't want to see it. They just opened their computer and say, check this out. That was Robert Schimmel, comedian Robert Schimmel. He'll be missed. Opened his computer and said, you'll get a kick out of this, and just sort of hit play at 7:30 in the morning when I was doing the morning show. I miss that guy, by the way. I already found out that they met at in primal scream therapy. That was through Ray, because Ray had to go find out where they met. I never asked a fucking question to anyone in my group because I didn't fucking want to know. I knew it wouldn't be a good answer.
Can we get a picture of the stepdad stuff up here too, Gary? Is it, if it's something like, go ahead, finish up.
I knew the answer to, hey, where did you two meet? Oh, you know that cruise Bill Gates puts together every year with all the luminaries? We met on that.
Of course. Yeah.
No, it was Primal Scream Therapy. Well, what picture do you want?
I just want a picture of anything of your mom and stepdad. You know, just as if there's any. He came up with this so quickly. What if there's
no,
a little?
No, I don't. I don't think we have.
But
any.
But he, so here, but,
so
go ahead,
listen.
Finish. Then I've got a point.
Now, before the accordion door blew out.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you have accordion anything in your house, that's bad. Even just an accordion. I had the accordion door in one of my rented houses. The bedroom in the house was so small. That we literally, like on a train or something, you couldn't have room to swing if you swung the door out or in.
That only exists in Southern California. And no one around the country knows what the fuck you're talking about.
I
know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like a vinyl.
A vinyl sliding accordion.
Mash it into one corner, but then it starts opening.
It fills. It was before the days of wheelchair doors. It's usually a smaller door jam, typically.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about, Chris? You've never seen this. This is something Gary had. Some of the 60s and 70s. Like, well, we need a door here. Let's put some cool vinyl up and slide it.
But it's like there's no room for a door because if the door swings open, it's going to hit the bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it swings out, it's going to close the hallway off. Like
that became beads eventually.
Yeah.
No.
It started as beads. It became a vinyl accordion door. Right. And by the way, it didn't do anything. It never shut. It never latched. It never fully opened. It was just some sort of vapor barrier or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway.
And it always was akimbo. It never
A weird wood grain, like it was going to simulate something. Anyway.
Awful. God, the 70s sucked.
That thing.
You need more information than that.
That thing before the accordion gave way that was on the side of the air
jam.
Conditioner.
Oh, that, okay.
What Norman would do to let us know it was time to let him in the house when he wanted in at the end of the evening or he wanted to eat or whatever. He would simply crawl up the screen door.
Oh, yeah.
He would he'd stay to the left where the hinges weren't. He'd get about halfway up.
Just crawl.
He'd literally just put his paws.
Rock climbing.
He'd climb up. A cat can easily just put it right in that screen and just climb up. He'd get about halfway up, and he'd start rocking. And it'd just make this bang, bang. Because the door was, as you can see, it's like 8 or 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
And it's just made out of like 1x4, and it's just a frame, and it would just slap. So we'd be sitting in there with the air conditioning buzzing away watching Ma, and then you just hear slap, 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 and it's like, okay, Norman wants in. And you just go out, open the door.
On that side, you open that door or you open the front door?
I can't remember if John painted the door shut or put a piece of furniture in front of it.
It seems like they put a nail, just one nail, right? You know what I'm talking about? And then paint over that.
I don't know.
But here, let me tell you something that's interesting about this picture that just struck me. Is that you remember back in the late 19th century, people would pose for the daguerreotypes, whatever they called those things, with the big thing.
Yeah.
And they'd pose they'd have to freeze because he moved. The lens was open so long that they'd be blurry. And,
yeah, they actually had.
But there was a convention.
Head they had clips. They'd keep your head in place, like a little saddle for you. You know, one clip went around the back of your head. You could sit down in the chair and sort of snap your head into this thing.
Yeah,
so
much the way they used to do paintings, if you had to sit for a painting, for a portrait or something. But it occurs to me, looking at this, that back in the day of film photography, we weren't that far away from that.
No.
We felt like we were. But compared to now, where I think, we would have to put. I'm sure your grandma spent 5 minutes posing everybody and getting it ready and hey, look, everybody. It's 250 to develop this 50 cents per film. Right?
Yeah.
And that 1, 2, 3, kaboof. And that does not exist now.
No. Well, I'll tell you what else doesn't exist. A picture of my mom smiling.
Is she smiling? Is that what that is? I would not call that a smile if that's her version of smiling.
Drew, did you hear what I said?
I thought you meant other than this. I beg your pardon.
Well, I would have said this is the only. No, I said what does not exist.
I see.
Why the opposite day for you? No, it does not exist. She is not smiling.
Yeah.
She would never smile because she would never give my grandmother the satisfaction of smiling for her.
I just thought she never smiled.
She never smiled. This is a much better picture. This is a 1, 2, 3, fuck you, Mom.
Your dad's not doing much better, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Well, this is another picture of my mom. Now, my grandmother said 1, 2, 3 because my grandfather turned around from the table to look.
Of course.
And I smiled.
Yeah.
But my mom turned the other direction, put her hand over her face. And my dad just stared just sort of blankly into the camera. By the way, again, there was a woman standing up saying, all right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. That's why I'm looking that direction. That's why my sister's looking that direction. That's why my grandfather is looking that direction. But my mom is... Now, here's the interesting thing about this picture. And look, for those of you who are like, oh, what are you guys talking about? You got a picture up there. We can't see it. You can go on the site and look at it. But I'll try to paint the picture for you. We're sitting outdoors at a barbecue at my grandfather's house. This would never take place at my house. Once a year, my grandfather would get out to barbecue and barbecue some chicken, make some corn. My grandfather would do normal things. My grandmother, who was taking the picture, went to the far end of the table so that everybody who would have been sitting at that end with their back to her would have had to turn around to get to the picture.
Yeah.
Meaning my grandfather had to crane his neck around.
Yeah.
My sister had to turn around in her chair. I had to sort of look up and turn. Everyone had to turn to get into the lens.
Yeah.
My mother was lined up perfectly with the lens. She was head on.
Yeah.
She would have had to do...
She was the focal point of the picture.
She would have had to do nothing except for look forward and straight ahead.
Very much like your dad, very much. But even he's off a little bit.
Which you would have done if you were at... If you were taking this photo... Everyone else, my dad had to sort of turn to his left a little bit.
Yeah.
My sister had to pivot herself around my grandfather. That's a long way for an old man to twist.
Yeah.
Me, I'm pivoting around. The thing that's interesting is my mom is perfectly lined up.
Yeah.
She's at 12 o'clock of this picture. My grandmother's a little bit to the right. My mother's a little bit to the left. It's perfect. She craned around too, but was to get away from the lens.
Yeah.
Now, what else do you need to know about said picture, Dr. Drew, who's now on his feet? Now, what do you think my mom is saying in that picture to her mother?
Fuck you.
Fuck you, right?
Oh, yeah. I want every memory that you'll have of me saying that. Every time you look through pictures, walk down memory lane, I want you to see my middle finger extended.
So
figuratively.
I think it about the picture basically sums it up. It's me.
And by the way, my grandmother did deserve that. That was never discussed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's me sort of painting a smile on my face, trying to keep it together. It's my grandfather going, all right, could we act fucking normal for one second? Could we just be normal? Could we have a fucking barbecue and get people together and have a beer and enjoy ourselves? And it's my mother going, fuck you, and my dad with just a 10,000-yard stare going, I want to kill myself.
How do I get out of here?
By the way, I got to go home with this woman.
Yeah.
And as far as the kids go, oh, Jesus Christ. No. Yeah. So who's going to pay for them?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, my dad's like, I want out.
Now, I always try to sort of examine the environs there to see if I can learn anything. One of the things interesting to me about this picture, I see the grandfather influence. There's plates, there's wooden bowls and stuff. You know, he did it up. It was him.
Yes, it was him.
And the shitty patio furniture, yet the big block wood tabletop. Did that go with that shitty patio furniture? See that thing?
Yeah, what my grandfather liked to do is he liked to sort of cobble things together.
Oh, I knew it didn't belong with that.
And
okay.
As far as the shitty patio furniture goes, there was no instance when we would ever, you know, basically take any piece of patio furniture. Well, first off, we didn't own patio furniture in my house.
Yeah, right.
We didn't have a patio. We just had a fucking dirt yard.
Yeah.
So there was no... And by the way, patio furniture are for people who want to barbecue, go outdoors, swim in a pool, enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
This is not... In my house, Never.
Let me tell you, when we go deep into this, which you and I have been into it many, many times, oftentimes driving home from Loveland, mm-hmm. but we go deep, I get the worst anxiety, the worst gnawing feeling in my gut. Is that yours? You feel that way thinking about this?
No, I don't, but I do.
Are you numb?
I am. I know. I do think.
Because I just get to, at first it's novelty, ooh, funny, and then I get like, oh. It's that feeling of being stuck.
It's a bad dream. Yeah. It's the world's worst Tom Hanks movie, which is you travel back in time and you have these two fucking retards raise you. And you're trapped.
Trapped in this fucking hot house
with no fucking money.
Trapped,
and
bored,
just trapped.
And nothing aesthetically like distracting or appealing.
Oh,
it's just the opposite.
Listen, I said it all the time. All I needed was a fucking basketball hoop and a dog, and I could have had a decent childhood.
Yeah,
but that was, I mean, something like a basketball hoop.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, that was, we're going to Epcot Center in Florida. I mean, that was a bridge way too far. I mean, a basketball hoop would have required $70. 2 hours and somebody who gave a shit about anything but themselves.
And now think how different the world is your kids are growing up in,
where there's
aesthetics and sound and visuals and fucking activities all the time.
I woke up this morning. I woke up. Well, first off, I didn't have a ball.
Let's not talk about you for a second. I'm switching.
I'm going to tell you, though. I'm going to lead this into you.
All right.
I did not own a ball. I found a football. It had no laces. I found it at the park.
Is that the one that kid was holding in the picture? It looks like it.
No, that's a Nerf football, and I considered him royalty for owning a Nerf football. That was a big excitement when David would come over, bring your Nerf football. Bring your ball so we can play Nerf football. I didn't own a Nerf. A Nerf football was $8.
But you know what?
I woke up this morning, and I looked out my bedroom window.
Stop. Before you tell that story, I want to say that The fact that I can relate so strongly to that feeling is maybe why I understand your hatred for the 70s and stuff, and I can relate so strongly to what you're describing, in that so many of us raised in that period had moments, at least pieces of what you described. You had like Rikers Island version.
Right.
But all of us experienced some of this. You know
Rikers
what I mean?
Island would serve hot food. As far as I know.
But you know what I'm saying? That we all, I don't know about Ray and Chris, they feel the same way because they were.
No, they had it pretty good until Chris's dad went to prison and things
like that.
I can
relate so strongly to what you're describing.
But they had dinners. I would go to their house to eat.
Yeah, the food wasn't restricted. I get that.
But the feeling was one of the biggest deals.
It's the feeling of being emotionally deprived? Is that the feeling? Like of something like that?
I'll tell you what it is to me. Or I'll describe a few things. First off, I had, as you know, I moved because Natalia wanted a tire swing. And I lived up in the hills, and I had a beautiful house up in the hills, and I moved into a lesser house, arguably. I mean, it just is. It's smaller. It's worth less. It's not as nice for me.
Yeah. Well, doesn't have that crazy office and stuff. It's
the house that I built up on the hill.
Yeah.
And I moved shortly after building my super garage and all that kind of stuff. I sunk a ton into that garage. I made it my blah, 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 blah. I made the house into my palace,
mm-hmm.
and I painstakingly took every hinge, every nut and bolt, every knob.
Have people seen pictures of that? Can you put it up? Do you show that?
There's some pictures that were in a magazine spread or something on it.
People
but
ought to see that.
Yeah, they're floating around somewhere. Well,
you ought to throw some up because they're pretty amazing.
I don't think I'm exaggerating when you say there was not many houses in that area that were nicer than that house,
I think you can say with great ease that there's nothing like that house anywhere. You specifically made it unique with the pool room. It's specifically custom.
Okay, I moved from that house because Natalia wanted a tire swing. That was the basically. That wasn't. 100% of it, but that was the impetus.
There were school issues and stuff.
Thank you for the shitting of the point.
I'm trying to make you not seem so pussy whipped. I'm just saying.
No, the house had no yard. It had everything but a yard.
That's true.
Or
a kid yard, anyway, yeah.
It had like a kind of a sloped back, whatever, with a tree in it, but there was no yard. Mm. And Natalia, being Natalia, said, I want a tire swing. Right. I want a tire swing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yes, Hollywood is a piece of shit, and the Y is filled with homeless people, and the school system sucks, and, you know, there's a lot of things.
Reasons,
but the main thing is I have two kids, and they wanted a fucking yard.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a yard.
Yeah.
And Sonny wanted a basketball hoop. And he didn't have a basketball hoop. He didn't have a play. There wasn't just the way it was. There wasn't a place to do it.
And to be fair, now they've spent a lot of time in that yard. Sonny, particularly, out there with the balls all the time.
Not only did I buy a house where the house wasn't nearly as nice as the house I was currently living in. Most people don't downsize unless they have to. I didn't have to. I just did it because I wanted a yard. And I wanted a community. I wanted a neighborhood for the kids. I'm not there specifically, but the kids are.
Yeah.
And I want a neighborhood. I bought a house that had a big yard and had a basketball hoop. And Sonny immediately went berserk playing basketball.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I did was I put AstroTurf down in the entire backyard. And we have almost nightly... And I mean, it's dark outside, but the porch lights are on and stuff. 2-on-2 boys against girls soccer games back there. Mama's out there playing goalie. Dad's playing goalie. Sonny and Natalia are in the middle scrapping it up and kicking the ball and laughing like maniacs. And
is the front lawn grass?
No, front lawn's grass. Yeah, back is AstroTurf. And I go out there, throw the ball to Sonny all the time.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. I looked out of my back window. This is before Sonny was going to school. He had the football tucked under one arm and was kicking a soccer ball. And may have had a ping pong ball up his ass. May have. I don't know. I felt something hard. The point is he's holding a football, kicking the soccer ball. And I thought, that's all. That's all he... Yeah. Happy child. He's got a dog. He's got a basketball hoop. He's good. All right. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, Drew, we'll take some phone calls. I will tell you, by the way, where that table came from.
Okay.
The picnic table in the back of the house. And yes, those feelings of being trapped by
gnawing.
Let me say
dread.
This.
It's dread. That's what that is.
Dread.
Yeah, it's dread.
Dread mixed with heat, mixed with depression, mixed with hunger.
Now go make television.
Yeah.
Revisit it.
I say to my kids all the time, and think about this, Drew. Did anyone say this to you? And again, I'm not one of these parents that believes in you're number one. Don't let anyone ever tell you
no,
you're
that's
not.
That's nonsense.
That's nonsense. Yeah. What I say to my kids all the time is, I'm so happy you guys are here. This is so awesome that you guys are in our lives. This is great, isn't it? Isn't it great? Isn't it? I say to my son and my daughter all the time, any mommy better than your mommy? Do you think there's a mommy better than your mommy? And they're like, no. And I go, would you like any mommy better than your mommy? And they say no, although Natalia would say Katy Perry. But then I'd say no. And also when I say to Natalia, who's got it better than you? Who's got it better than you? And she goes, Uncle Jimmy. Jimmy has it better. I say to her, no, he's at work right now. It's the funny thing is I told that to Jimmy, and Jimmy's first thing out of his mouth was, no, I'm at work.
Yeah.
He said, you're here.
Yeah.
You're enjoying the pool and kicking the soccer ball around the fucking AstroTurf. He's working.
Well, no matter how good a time your kids have, they'll hate you. Don't worry. Don't worry.
But the point is I stop.
Both of you, by the way.
I stop with them, and I just say, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so glad we have you guys, and isn't this awesome? Which is something I'd never heard my entire life, ever, other than it's just, we fucked up the Indians, we fucked up the black people, we're fucked up, and this is horrible, and we're killing the earth, and now I'm going to lock myself in my room. And by the way, whatever you're eating, that's going to kill you. All right, we'll take a quick break on that happy note. Be back with, I'll tell you what the picnic table was, and then we'll take some phone calls right after this.
Hi, folks, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I tell you about my triumphant return to Cantor's Restaurant, a place I had breakfast every day, 7 days a week, for years. And one of these days, I hope they name a sandwich after me. Join us, and we'll see you here.
All right. Walk down memory lane. Yeah, it, you know, first off, the things I realize, everyone thinks it's about money, you know, and it's one of the things, Drew, that you and I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And it's, some of it is, ends up taking a political path with the HuffPo talking about, you know, school to prison pipeline, and these people are economically disenfranchising. It doesn't. Whether it's school, whether it's making your kid some oatmeal, sprinkling a little brown sugar and some walnuts on it before they leave the house for breakfast, which is 31 cents, whether it's that, or whether it's sitting down and reading with them after school. Yes, you have a long day at the shitty job, but then that night, before you go to bed, you sit down and read, or it's about putting up a basketball hoop against the garage at the end of the driveway, or getting them a fucking Nerf football. It's not money. You're telling them, I'm happy you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're in our lives. We love you. This is awesome. Hugging them. What do you mean money? What's that have to do with socioeconomic fucking anything? That's the part that's insane to me, Drew. I mean, everyone's like, what's it? Well, we are you rich guys up there. Of course, you can hug your kids. Like, everybody can hug their kids. Everybody can put a fucking basketball hoop on. Everyone, just about, like, I'm not talking about, you know, potato famine 100 years ago. I'm just talking about 2014. You can have a fucking dog. You can get your kid a pet. You can keep after that dog. Yes, you have to clean up its mess and you have to walk it and you have to feed it. But yes. Put up the basketball hoop. Get a ball. Kick it around. Go outside. Spend some time. Go to the fucking park on a Saturday with your kid. Free. Take the fucking soccer ball. Free. Kick it back and forth for an hour. Free. When you're done, hug it out and get $2 worth of soft swirl yogurt. Is that really? Then you can fucking read a free book that night? Free? When did everything turn into, boy. Easy for you up there in your fucking ivory tower to look down on. No. My parents were poor, but they're fucking dicks. Like, they could have fucking done plenty of shit. Could have fucking sat out. Me and Sonny, we just stand in the house. He just holds a ball, like a little round ball, like a Nerf ball, you know, and we just throw it back and forth and just
talk.
He
wished you'd come to the football game with us the other night.
I know. I had to, thank you, Dick. To fucking,
I brought it up with him many times.
I went to dinner with you guys that night, yes. And then I had to fucking get up at the crack of fuck and be in Gardena.
Well, you were still awake when we got home with the kids.
Listen.
In your underwear, mind you.
Listen, Drew.
It must strike a nerve. You seem very upset about it.
Now, I'm pissed at you because you have to fucking shit all over every fucking point. We went out to... Drew wanted to go out. I said to Drew earlier in the week, let's go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Did I not?
Yes, it was
okay.
Your call.
Then I found out with about a day's whatever, dinner and also a UCLA game that started late. I don't
7:30,
know.
7:30, yeah.
7:30. Who's never fucking home and working all the time, had an 8 a.m. call time in Gardena the following fucking morning. And I don't have any fucking me time at all. I don't have any. Yeah. I'm going to plop down on the sofa.
I get it.
Yeah, it sounds like you do.
I do.
So I said I will go out to dinner with Drew and his wife and the kids, and we'll go out to dinner, and then everyone else can go off to the UCLA game. I'm going to go home and beat. I'm crack a beer. I'm going to say beer. I'm going to go home and fucking crack a beer and veg yeah. on the sofa because I got a fucking early morning. Now, you guys came home at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go to bed at 10 and I knew I'd get woken up when yeah. everyone came home. And I was thinking and kind of assuming that my clan would run out of gas a little bit around 10 and you guys would just drive home.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty hair-raising game. And Sonny was – actually, Natalia was into it.
Yeah.
Frankly.
She was
almost embarrassing.
She's like – She's loud.
She's like, fuck you, Tom. It's like, what?
It's she's like, crazy. So I was sort of.
You should look back at some of the YouTubers. I hate you, screaming at them.
It was a very good and a close game, and Utah just squeaked it out. But I was expecting UCLA would blow them out, and you guys in the middle of the third quarter would come home.
Yes, yes.
And I was going to sit around until everyone got home and got settled because I wasn't going to be able to go to bed and then have everyone walk through the door at 10 o'clock. And that's what I was doing.
I get it. It's good to give you shit about that.
I appreciate it. Now, that's all. Now, the. Picnic table.
Oh, yeah.
That was a basket.
What?
The bottom, the base of that table was a basket. It was a basket.
Oh, I see, yeah.
That was used when you, like, I believe, for, like, dipping parts into acid or something and
wow.
then pulling them out,
crazy.
You know, treating metal or yeah. whatever it is. It's like a 4-foot by 3-foot basket, hard metal basket. And they capsized it, put the bottom up, and set it on the patio. Then my grandfather took a big chunk of wood and just dropped it on top of it.
What's weird to me is the backs of the chair seem to match the table base.
Yeah, that's completely...
Is that just random?
That's just random.
Wow.
Yeah, because no one would buy a matching set of whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But yes, I never really examined this picture from the standpoint that my mother was the only person in position.
Oh, no, you have. We've discussed
this. I've discussed everyone has looked away a million times.
Yeah.
And my mother looked away a million times, but I've never really looked at it from this angle, which
she's
is she's dead nuts center and should have been the only one who didn't have to move.
Yeah.
It took effort for her to look away.
Oh, it's more than effort. It's like an active, you know, fuck you. It's passive aggression.
I'm not sure what my dad is doing either. I'm not sure why he couldn't muster a little.
A smile.
Well
in the past, you said it was his depression. It was so bad.
But the thing about it is I've said a million times, look, adults, whatever you have going on in your personal life or your own psyche, you must make an effort to pretend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The kids, yeah.
In front of the fucking kids, that you're not a complete and utter mess.
All right, let's take some calls. Come on.
All right, let's do that. Let's see if we got line one. We're going to talk to Eric.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, got a quick question for both of you. Ace, I always hear you talking about people who have a motor, you know, constantly moving, constantly going. And Dr. Drew, you do a lot with Teen Mom. I became a father when I was 14.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm successful. I'm married. I'm 32 now. I'm a digital marketing manager for a, you know, $1 billion company. And I was just wondering, Dr. Drew, mainly, why do you think that there doesn't seem to be a lot of positive spins put on this whole teen father thing? Is it because they don't want... Like, they don't want to blame anything for, like, a rash of teen parenting or something? Or, you know, wouldn't it be good to have, like, a positive story out there?
Well, so hold on. So how old is your child, the 18-year-old, your child is now 20. How old's your oldest child?
She's 18.
18. Come on, Doc.
And what if she'd had a child at 14? That'd be cool with you?
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
so there's that, right? It's not a good idea.
Well,
and the reason, hang on. And the statistics on the outcome for the children of teen moms are just horrific.
But,
and the dads are rarely in the picture. And I mean,
what about
rarely.
A little positive spin?
So that's why. It's just simply the fact. And yes,
but Drew, let me ask you this. Sometimes people get in a horrific car accident, they're not wearing their seat belts, and they're fine.
We should say
we
everyone,
should publicize that.
Publicize
Why not publicize it?
We should, because it's a positive
Why?
Story.
Why? The person was fine.
Yeah, so we should. We should talk about not
we
wearing your seatbelt.
We should talk more about that. Why aren't those stories highlighted?
And in fact,
they could have been ejected from the car and landed on a down farm where they process down feathers. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Why not? And walked right away from it.
Sure. Let's encourage that.
Let's focus on that.
Yeah. You get it, Eric?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. But in fact, there's a certain percentage of teen products of teen parents that actually do rather well, and it's more than you would expect given how sort of the majority does so poorly, the rest of them do surprisingly well. And that's something that has been written about. It's not something that's actively discussed because it's not that common.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got another phone call to take. Yeah. I will tell you this. Mangria back with a passion. And,
oh, you put passion fruit in it now?
No.
No.
No, but we do got a special 3-pack and shipping's included and the new formula and the twist top cap and the new bottles and the new everything, and it is out of this world, and it's back up and running. We had a little downtime, but you can try the red, white, and brosé. Brosé's out. We're going now. We had a little delay on the brosé, but it is running full guns ahead. So, again, shipping used to be a bitch. Not anymore. Go to CorollaDrinks.com. Try it out. If you're going to be tailgating, whatever, watching some football this weekend, you order it now. I think you'll have it, by the Thursday night game? I'm trying to think. All right. Anyway, what?
Next Thursday night's game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, this is Thursday, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Next well, not, Thursday. Yeah, I would, yeah, right. Not tonight's game. But you might get it by
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. Depends where you live. Anyway, let's see. Also, we're going to be doing a live show, Portland, Seattle. I'll be doing a stand-up show in Sacramento coming up if you want to come say hi. Now, where were we, Drew?
Talking to Joseph, line 5.
Joseph, line 5. Joseph?
Yes, how are you guys doing?
Hey,
good.
Great. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm 31. I've been listening to you guys since I was in 7th grade, so I'm a big fan. I love both of you.
Thank you.
I've been married for 6 years. I have a 5- and 6-year-old, boy and girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a situation where my wife and I have lost intimacy or even enjoying being around each other for the most part.
Why?
And I'm sorry?
Why?
Don't know. Great question.
Well, that's what needs to be
discussed. Somebody should look into that, yeah. Right?
No, I certainly have been, and we're actually seeing a therapist once a week right now.
Good. Okay.
And right. We are trying. I feel we're both trying. At one point, a few months ago, my wife actually, I told my wife I wasn't happy with our lack of, I feel like I'm almost overbearing with how much I try, which I know is not good.
How much you try toward the relationship or just in general?
Toward the relationship. I feel that way. Mm-hmm. It may not be completely accurate, but I really do try to come home and find an excuse to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
and find mutual hobbies and things like that. And I've told my wife that I think it's something we need to work on, and it's a focal point and everything like that. And I've told her I wasn't happy with the fact that I didn't feel she was really reciprocating my efforts. And at one point a few months ago, she actually told me that, you know, she's assuming, I think, that it was all about our lack of sex, which, I mean, would be nice to have more sex, but it's not everything. And she said that even if I had to, I could maybe even find another sexual partner outside of our marriage. I'm not interested. I mean, I would probably enjoy that, but I'm confident it would ruin our marriage.
Right. That'd be the end of that. I mean, think about it. What are we, you know, you're in treatment for couples troubles.
Yeah, she's kind of telling you.
Well, she's a little bit of sabotaging.
A little bit. She's basically tapping out. If she's saying, go do what you got to do, that'll be the last. That one's not going to, all right, well, you got that off your chest and on to the other chick's chest, by the way. But moving on, no, that'll be the end of that. So you know, unfortunately, you have a couple of young children.
Well, no, but that's given the motivation to stay
and stay in and
don't separate.
Keep going to the
therapist. I'll give you one piece of advice. Don't separate. Like something like 90% of marriages, when there's a separation, don't make it. So people often go, well, we'll just take a break. We'll separate for a while. No, no, don't do it.
And, you know, she's got to burn calories, too. And, I mean, you guys are in therapy, and you should be able to work it out, but not if she's not doing anything. She's got to burn calories.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the kids, and, Drew, where are you with this?
Dig.
Kids are 5, 6 years old. Do you gut it out for a few years?
In terms of?
For the kids?
Hell yes.
I mean, I know people who got divorced, you know, literally, like, waited till their kids turned 18.
Right.
And went off somewhere and then got divorced.
That's okay.
Okay.
Because, listen, the kids want nothing except the family together, no matter, unless it's just become violent or something. But that's all kids care about.
I know.
That the intactness of their family. Listen. Even you with your shitty family probably felt ruptured when they split up.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you were too far gone.
I was too far gone. Yeah. And my mom was too far gone. My dad and mom were too far. You saw a picture of them when they were together, did you not? Yeah. So my dad just moved up the street, got a shit box. Well, he moved into my grandparents' house, but no, there was it couldn't get any worse than it was. It just wasn't. Right. Everything would have been a lot. We'd already were in the fucking basement I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to say this. What I didn't like, especially back then when everyone wasn't getting divorced, I didn't like the shame
of divorce.
The embarrassment of like saying, like, you know, the football coach, you know, Mr. Gallagher would like drop me off and go, well, where's your dad at? You know, like stuff. Well, he's moved out. Yeah. You know, he's living somewhere. You know, that was like, where's your parents? You know, like, you know, it was a lot of like, are your parents coming to the game? And like, they don't leave or talk or, you know, where are your parents? Why aren't they at the, you know, it was like a lot of where, you know, your mom and your dad, what do they do? You know, like stuff like that, you know, like that kind of, that was always for me like, you know, that I didn't like. Them physically being apart was fine. The family was a piece of shit. Everything, I've been broken. That all was fine. The questions from the normal intact families were, that I didn't, that I didn't like. But tell you what I do like. E-Voice. E-Voice, man. You want to own your own business like moi? That's right. That's Hungarian for me. You got to hire a receptionist. Someone to handle your calls. It's tough, man. You got to pay a bunch of money. No, not anymore. You need eVoice. Set you up with a toll-free number or a local number. Customers can be greeted professionally by virtual receptionists. It's going to route all your calls wherever you are. And you're going to sound like a Fortune 500 company, baby. You'll never miss another important call. Just $13 a month. And right now, I got a limited time deal for my listeners. I can try eVoice free. That's right, free. 60 days, 2 months, free. Go to evoice.com/Adam. Set yourself up for 60 days and do an extended free trial. Whether you're a business or not, look like a pro. evoice.com/ACE. That's evoice.com/ACE. All right. We appreciate you clicking through Amazon and supporting the show. I'm doing some stand-up in Sacramento. Is that the Cash Creek Casino? If you'd like me to say Cash Creek, just write fucking Cash Creek on there. Because I'm not going to.
Cache Creek?
I'm not going to.
Yeah, it could be Cache.
I'm not going to be able to do that. Somebody said at some point it was pronounced Cash Creek.
Okay.
But I would not. I would fuck that up royally. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That'll be November 8th, a couple of shows. So come on out and say hi. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, Chris Max Patton, Gary Haftar. Saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.